Well, it's great to be back here with you again. Welcome, everyone, to Abbotsford Anglican Church. Especially, we trust you're all well and continuing to stay safe and encouraged. It's good to be back with you. Rosemary and I thank you for your prayers and encouragement in this past week. For those listening in, a very special welcome to you and to any visitors today. Very special welcome to you to come along. A little later in the service, the kids will go out to our kids' church and then come back with us in the last song. For those listening in or visiting, my name is Reverend Trevor Young. I'm the Senior Minister here at Abbotsford Anglican Church, and we here at Abbotsford Anglican Church are about a people who seek to live life God's way according to His Word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us. Well, involved in the service today is Tina. Tina's going to lead us in our service time together. Stuart's going to read the Bible to us. Our musos are Sam on keyboard, Rosemary, Dave and Linda are our song leaders. And a very special welcome to Cameron and to Lara and the kids that are here. And we look forward to hearing about the work of the gospel towards refugees in Sydney area here today. So welcome, Cameron. Our mission focus is on the work of refugees to support them and to reach them with the gospel. And also the agency of care that we're thinking about this month and praying for is police chaplaincy. Well, our very first song is Come Praise and Glorify Our God, the Father of our Lord. In Christ He has in heavenly realms His blessing on us poured.
Praise of your mercy and grace.
pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for gathering us here this morning in obedience to your word. We pray that what we do now will be pleasing in your sight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, would you please just be seated for a moment? It'd be wonderful. And we'll continue in prayer and drawing near to God. I'm just wondering if there's a slide in here for the kids to go out. If not, I can hand... Oh, there isn't one there. Okay, let me just pray for the kids and then we can turn around and from our seats, COVID safely, and welcome each other. Let me pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for Kids Church. We thank you for an opportunity for our children to grow in their knowledge and love of you as well. We thank you for our teachers and we pray that they are encouraged as they seek to serve you and these children. Loving Heavenly Father, again, thank you for gathering us together and may what we do is pleasing in your sight. Amen. Well, kids, off you go. See you later. And if you'd like to turn around and just say good morning to the person next to you or nearby, welcome to church. It's good to see you. Please stay for some refreshments afterwards for morning tea as we gather out in the playground. Over to you.
Good morning, all.
Morning.
What a lovely morning to gather together. And for those listening, what a joy it is that you can join us. We do praise God this morning for the beautiful weather, but we also praise God for what he's done for us in Jesus Christ. And what a privilege it is to join together here in our building and, of course, online. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it as his children. So we've come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building of his church. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way. For the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives you in Christ Jesus, who shed his blood for us. Amen. Give praise to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. We're now going to go back to God's word. And before we hear from it, let's commit this to prayer. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Stuart's going to come up and give us our Bible reading for today.
Good morning, everyone. Today's Bible reading is from Revelation, and it is all of chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord.
It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? I want you to take a moment just to think about that. Just breathe that in. It's quite an incredible picture. But you know what's so amazing? It's about what we believe. So I'd love you to just stand with me and affirm our faith together in these words. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen. While we're still standing, please be seated. I lost my place. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful statement of faith, which is found in Colossians. And I'm going to invite Cameron up to come and speak to us. Oh, and so is Lara. Lovely. Welcome. It's really a pleasure to have you.
So nice to see you, Tina. I'm not speaking the word of God to you right now. We're just going to share with you some of the things that we've been doing, and then Cameron will share with you the word of God. But so lovely to be here. I love coming here It's so encouraging. I walked a few steps and just had a beautiful conversation with Margaret just about their faithfulness. It's so exciting to be part of your church. So thank you so much for partnering with us and continuing to support our family. Just a reminder, you probably all know, but I just want to share with you who our family is, just so that you might know a bit about them. So Zach is the tallest there. I'm not going by oldest, it's just he's the tallest. He's in second year uni doing industrial design and really enjoying being part of the Christian group on campus and serving at his church, doing youth group and kids church. Rebecca has just graduated actually this week from doing fine arts. She's now studying graphic design. She's also enjoying being part of her church, doing kids ministry. Hannah is on the other side of Cameron. She's our eldest. She's in her second year as an interior architect. She's studying in a firm, she's working in a firm that are very caring, very nice, which is a real blessing. Recently had an operation on her hand, so she's been out for a week or so. And then we've got Lily, who's here. She's in year 11. She comes to church with us. Nat, he's our football player. He's just, been signed with the Western Sydney Wanderers squad, so that's very exciting for him, and we always pray that he'll be God's man on the field. Luke is in year 7, getting used to being in high school, and Malachi is next to me, and he is in year 9, and he's such a blessing from God, like the rest of them.
So we just want to share just a few moments about what we're doing. We lead a Pioneers mission team here in Sydney called Summit Youth. And our focus is on reaching new migrant youth and young adults with the good news of Jesus. Now, most of the youth we're meeting with at the moment are refugees who fled from their home countries because of persecution and war.
Yeah, so the refugees that we're currently meeting with are from 6 countries. So they're from the Congo, from Egypt, from Syria, Iran, Afghanistan, and Cambodia. And so we just want to take a few moments to share with you why we're seeking to reach migrant refugee youth and how we're seeking to reach them. So we actually employ a strategy called the 4 fields, and we're going to share that with you. But before we do, the most important part is actually the Father's heart. So we always begin with the Father's heart.
Yeah, as we read the Bible, we see God's heart is for people of all nations to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth in Jesus. And we'll see that a bit later when we look at Revelation 5 in a moment. Today we see that the nations are actually coming to us in Australia. And many are open to hearing about Jesus. And so as we work amongst refugee youth here in Sydney, we continue to pray and submit ourselves to God, that we would do his will, that we would share his truth faithfully. And as we continue to read his word, so that first and foremost, we might be disciples ourselves. That's the most important thing, that we are walking and shining God's light ourselves, so that the refugee youth not only hear it from us, but see it in us. And so that's why we start with the Father's heart. We need to align ourselves with what God wants. And we see that very clearly in his word.
Yes, so the first field is called connect. So we're always looking for opportunities to connect with our refugee youth and to build relationships with them. So we do this by trying to help meet some of their felt needs, and driving is one of the major ones that is actually very helpful. A lot of them are trying to get their license. This is Cameron with Ahmad, and this is me with Freshta and Mahbuba from Afghanistan. They've all got their license now, another way that we connect is through our refugee trauma healing camp, where they get to work through some of their trauma, get some basic counselling skills, but ultimately they're learning about a God who loves them, who understands suffering, and that actually true restoration is only found in him. So it's a really wonderful program that we do when we take them away to Lithgow. We also have school holiday fun days, so we take them somewhere that they might not have been before or had opportunity to go, and we just enjoy being with them doing lots of different things, going to Manly on the ferry. And also we do, oh, that was a Coogee to Bondi walk. We also do sport in Auburn Park. A lot of refugee people are actually in Auburn Park, so we enjoy that. And another new, opportunity we've got is Create, where once a month we do some kind of creative thing. So the girls do things like painting or cross stitch or candle making, and the boys go fishing or work with timber or something like that. But these opportunities, they're a great way to connect with the youth, but also to help build community. Community is so important. These people are from collectivist societies, so we really want to help them be part of a community where they feel accepted and they have had that sense of belonging.
And all of these opportunities to connect provide an opportunity to sow the word of God. So every time we connect, have a meeting or a gathering, we're trying to share Jesus with them, either through Bible stories or more in depth. And so by sowing God's word, we are bringing them closer, or at least sharing the kingdom with them. And we do that each time we meet, as I said. So here's Lara at Auburn Park sharing a story in character with the scarf over her head. Just sharing a simple story and asking the youth some simple questions. What do we learn about God? What do we learn about people? And what would you do in response to hearing a story like this? And here's myself telling a story. We went on the Bondi to Coogee walk and shared a story about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And there was a group of Afghan girls there who'd never heard that story before. So it's wonderful opportunities to share Jesus with people who've never heard Jesus before.
Yeah, and then the next field is to grow. So for those who are more interested in hearing more about Jesus and at a deeper level, we try and gather them in a Bible study group once a week. So the boys come to our place, the girls we meet in Merrylands at a coffee shop. We study one of the books of the Bible and we do these discovery Bible studies with them and we pray for one another.
And the last field is called Gather. And so as the youth become more interested in Christian things and even becoming a Christian, we want to see them gather with other Christians to continue growing in their knowledge of God. And so we have started every week a youth group, if you like, and we invite our refugee youth to join with the Christian youth from our church, and we meet in Auburn Park and we play games and we do a Bible talk and various things to gather them so they get to know other Christians. So that's us, and that's just last week. We're doing a series at the moment, this term on identity, looking at the book of Ephesians. If you're a Christian, what does it mean? Who are you if you become a follower of Jesus? And we talked about being adopted. And this is two of our Syrian refugee youth acting out what it might be if you were, what you might do if you were adopted into God's family. And so, and Lara also, and I, with my help, run a kids club every Friday afternoon. So we've got we're between 15 to 30 kids every Friday, and they're from overseas as well. A lot from Vietnam and mainland China, and so that's a great opportunity to gather kids together. And also once a month with our church, we take church to the park. We do a very simple version of church. And we invite the youth and their families to come and join us. And it's just, a lot of these families would never come to a church. And so it's important we have give them the opportunity to get a taste of church. So we take it to them, to a local park in Guildford. So every month.
Part of the reason that we do that is because, as I said, they're collectivists. So we don't just want to reach the youth. We want to include their families as well. So we take opportunities when we can to include their family so they might get to know about Jesus too. So ultimately, what we're trying to do is multiply ourselves. We're trying to raise up leaders from amongst the refugee youth to be fellow disciple makers so that they might go and do a Discovery Bible study with their friends and maybe even one day go back to their homeland and take the gospel with them. So these are the four fields. Oh, actually, I think we've got somebody else to talk about.
Yeah, so just to give you a story, this is Salim. Salim is a Syrian refugee. He arrived perhaps 5 years ago. His family had to flee ISIS. When he got here, he'd been through an awful lot. He'd spent a number of years in Lebanon, waiting to come to Australia. And he came to our very first trauma healing camp. He wasn't a Christian. He's from an Orthodox background, but wouldn't have called himself a Christian. At that camp, he realized that God loved him and that there were Christians who cared for him. And he made a decision to become a Christian as a result of coming on that camp. And so he's been great. He's been coming to all the things we're doing. He follows me around like my shadow, and I'm not kidding. And he's very enthusiastic, and he wants to follow Christ, and he wants to do what we're doing. So one day, we're hoping, God willing, he might either join us or at least become a leader amongst the Syrian refugee community.
Yeah, this is Ronica. So she also came on our first camp. That's where we met her. She's from Iran. Her and her mum and her little sister fled Iran. They were actually, disenchanted with Islam, shamed quite a bit over there, and really wanted nothing to do with any God. When she came, but slowly over the years, so she's probably been here for about 4 or 5 years, slowly we've been able to share stories with her, and she actually comes to our girls' gathering, and we've been reading through Mark. I'm driving with her at the moment, so any opportunity I have, I invest in her and share Jesus with her. So she made a commitment to me probably about a year ago, saying that her mum said when she turns 18, she will become a Christian. She can choose whatever religion she wants, and she wants to choose Christianity, which is amazing to have gone from, I don't want to talk about God, you know, I'm really hurt, to I want to be a Christian. Well, she'll turn 18 at the end of this year, so I appreciate your prayers that she'll come good on that, that God continues to work in her heart and convict her of the truth. Because she's someone who is a leader type and has a lot of zeal and yes. Go in her. So, you know, we see a lot of potential, but it's obviously God who will be working in her heart. So as I was saying, these are the four fields that we're trying to employ amongst the youth to reach and make more disciples so that then they can go and be disciple makers amongst the unreached. We have one more initiative that we've started that we're trying to work towards, and that is Traverse, which Cameron just put up there. So Traverse is a 2-year cross-cultural apprenticeship to help train people in cross-cultural ministry as they help us reach the refugee youth. So we'd you can have a look at the website there. We'd really appreciate your prayers in this. We thank you so much for all the partnership and encouragement and support that you give us.
So I just wanted to spend a few moments just talking about how you can partner with us. And we appreciate, as Lara said at the beginning, your partnership up to this point. It's been fantastic. There are basically 4 ways you can partner with us in what we're doing. The first, well, you can see their prayer, finance, being an advocate, and being a volunteer. And I'm going to talk more about the importance of prayer when I talk about the Revelation 5, when we open the Word of God in a moment. But basically, we really need your prayers, and we'd love for you to be praying for us as we go out and seek to reach refugee youth. And you can do that by getting our newsletters. If you'd like to get our newsletters, please let us know today. We also need financial support for us personally and for our activities that we're running with Summit Youth. At the moment, for us personally, our support level is 83%, which is pretty good, but it's not fantastic. It means that we are a little short every month, and so we're almost at the point of having to go and get a second job just to make sure that we have enough money to live. And so we're looking for about 30 people giving $20 a week. That's all it would take to get us to 100%. So if you'd like to support us regularly, that would be fantastic. We'd really appreciate that. Again, come and talk to us. We also need to raise finances for our camps, for our weekly gatherings, for our driving lessons that we give, and our outings. And to give you an example, these are some of the expenses. So at camp, we take about 16 refugee youth away with us for 4 days. Food and all the materials and everything costs about $3,500 to run a camp, which works out to be about $200 for one refugee. So if you would like to support a camp, please, again, let us know. Or you'd like to support a youth to come to a camp, there's some opportunities there to support us in that way. So the last two, Lara's going to talk about briefly.
Yeah, so being an advocate, we really would appreciate it if you can share with other people what we're doing and help them know about our ministry and invite them to partner with us. That would be amazing. And fourthly, we're looking for people who might want to volunteer to help us in this ministry, because there's so many people out there that we want to reach, and there's so many wonderful things we can do, but we're limited by the number of volunteers that we have. So if you're interested or you know someone who might be looking for a ministry, please let us know. And let them know again with the advocacy about what we're doing, and hopefully that way we can build our team so we can reach even more youth for Christ.
So thanks again. We're going to transition into...
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
You might want to sort of get up and do a dance or something like that. All right, hopefully you've got, yes, you do have the Bible passage in front of you. That'd be really good to follow along as we go. I'm going to pray. Please join me as I pray. Dear Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here, and thank you for your words and the word of revelation. And we pray that as we look at it now, you'd give us great understanding and insight, and you open our hearts and minds to receive your word this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've talked a lot about what we've been doing on mission, and one of the realities is that doing mission has been quite challenging of late because of the ongoing pandemic. For a number of months in the last few years, we were actually unable to meet with those we're trying to reach, and we had to cancel some of the activities that we'd planned, which is hard. And it's not just our mission work that's been affected. Friends of ours whom we were on team with in Cambodia had to leave the field because of COVID, and one of our friends never made it to the field because of COVID. So it's had quite a big impact on mission. And it does make you wonder what God is doing with this pandemic. What's God up to? One thing it has done is that it's driven myself and those in our network to pray more. Because in the midst of the lockdowns, there really wasn't much else you could do except to pray. And it does raise the question, what difference do our prayers make? What role do they play in mission? Is it just during a pandemic that prayer is important? Is prayer just a last resort when there's nothing else that we can do? Well, if only we could get a behind-the-scenes look into heaven to see what God is doing in this world, what his plans and purposes are with this pandemic, whether our prayers make any difference. You've probably seen one of those behind-the-scenes documentaries, you know, where you get a look into the boardroom or the locker room of a sporting team or a business or a creative group. You get an insight into what makes them successful. A little while back, I'm a bit of a Beatles fan. My parents had all the Beatles records and I listened to them as a kid. They broke up before I was born, by the way. But anyway, I love the Beatles, and I watched this documentary called Get Back. I don't know if anyone's seen it. It's about the Beatles' last album and the concert they had on the roof. It was a very famous concert. It was a very interesting look at behind the scenes and how this group, a very famous band, produced this music. Well, today we're looking at taking a very brief look at the book of Revelation, which is like a behind-the-scenes look into the throne room of heaven. In this revelation, we see what God's plans and purposes for the world are and how our prayers play a role in what God is doing in his mission. Now, you probably know Revelation a little bit, just a bit of a brief sort of intro. The opening verse of Revelation says that this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. And Jesus makes this revelation known to his servant John. Now John, we know, was one of the original 12 disciples, and he receives this revelation from Jesus while he's in lockdown. John is on the island of Patmos. Chapter 1, verse 9 tells us where it's commonly believed he was imprisoned because he was a Christian, a follower of Jesus. Now, John, along with the original readers of this revelation, were suffering for being Christian. They were having to endure great trials, John says in chapter 1, verse 9. And it's here on Patmos that the risen and ascended Lord Jesus appears to John and commands him to write down what he has seen, what is now, and what will soon take place. So John is going to be shown what is really happening in the world and what God is doing in the world and what he will do both in John's time and in the future. And what John sees from chapter 4 is a behind-the-scenes glimpse into heaven. He's invited into the very throne room of God. Now, physically, John is sitting in a prison, a dirty, dark prison cell in Patmos. But spiritually, he's in the presence of God in heaven. And what does John see? In chapter 4, he sees God seated on the throne. He sees creatures in heaven praising and worshipping God. He is the sovereign ruler of all things. That's what the creatures proclaim. Now, I'll give you a little illustration. If this universe, our universe, was one giant aeroplane, we used to fly on those, remember those? Before the pandemic, we used to fly on planes. The universe is one giant aeroplane, and John has essentially entered the cockpit. And there, John sees who's flying the plane. It's God the Creator. And then in chapter 5, which is our chapter this morning, chapter 5, John sees a scroll in the right hand of God seated on the throne. And this scroll has writing on both sides, and it's sealed with seven seals. Now that's strange, isn't it? What is this seven-sealed scroll? Well, the book of Revelation is full of symbols, full of numbers that represent things. So, for example, the number seven is the number of completion because God created things in 7 days. Right? The scroll has writing on both sides of it in the hand of God, which says that this is God's will. This is what God wants. This is the full will of God. Seven, complete, the complete will of God is written on this scroll. Now, this scroll is everything God is going to do in the world. It's like the flight plan, to come back to the illustration for the aeroplane, where the plane is going to go. Here is the flight plan for the universe in God's hand. Now, what a scroll to get your hands on. Wouldn't you like to get your hands on a scroll and open a couple of the seals and have a look and see what God is doing? Maybe flick to the section where the pandemic, 2021. What is God doing? What is God doing in my life? Who's going to win the premiership this year? You know, imagine what we could do with such information. Then John sees, verse 2, he sees a mighty angel who asks, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one's found to be worthy. And what does John do? He weeps. Why does he weep? Well, he is a man imprisoned and suffering for the gospel. He obviously longs to see God's will come to be, come to pass. And yet there's no one there to enact it. And so he grieves. There's no one worthy to open this scroll or look inside it. Who is going to bring God's will into being? But then John is comforted by an elder, chapter 5, verse 5, who tells John there is someone who is worthy to open the seven sealed scroll. Now, this person is not named. But we know, if we know our Bibles, we know who it is, don't we? We know that the Lion of the tribe of Judah is Jesus. He is the one descended from the kingly line of Judah. We know that the root of David is Jesus. He is the one descended from King David, the great king who was promised to have a descendant rule on his throne forever. That's 2 Samuel 7. And we know that the lamb looking as if it was slain is Jesus because of the suffering servant in Isaiah 53. The one who was led like a lamb to the slaughter for our sins. Now the creatures in heaven who praised and worshipped God in chapter 4 now repeatedly praise and worship Jesus, the Lamb of God. They praise the one who is standing at the center of the throne of God, who has gone and taken that seven sealed scroll from God's right hand to open it. Why do they praise Jesus as worthy to open the scroll? What makes Jesus such a worthy candidate to open a scroll that no one else could open? We'll have a look at chapter 5. Read again verses 9 to 10. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation." Why is he worthy? He's worthy because by his blood he purchased people of all nations for God, so they might serve God and reign with him on earth. And there it is, friends. There is God's mission plan. That is what God is doing. His plan is to redeem people of all nations from sin and death, to bring them into his kingdom, and to do so by the blood of his son, Jesus. That's the plan. That's the mission right there. That's what God wants. John and his disciples of the day may have been wondering what God is doing with their imprisonment and suffering and how he's going to achieve his plans. But what a comforting and encouraging thing for John to see and the disciples to hear that all in all their suffering for Jesus, the one who suffered and died to save them is now ruling on the throne. That's what this picture is saying. Jesus is in control. What a comforting and encouraging thing for them to see and hear that the scroll of God's sovereign will is in the hand of Jesus. And because he sacrificed himself for us, he is worthy to open its seals. Jesus is in the pilot seat. He has the hand on the yoke. That's what I was corrected. I called it a tiller a few weeks ago and someone said, "No, that's a boat." I said, "Okay, it's a yoke to control an aircraft." He's in the position to bring God's flight plan to completion, to bring the nations into God's kingdom. Now, this ought to be a great encouragement and comfort to us too. As we may suffer for being Christian and for his gospel, as we groan with the rest of this world under the pandemic, not knowing what is going to happen in the future, but knowing that our Lord Jesus is ruling on the throne and is in control. But there's still more. What is still more comforting and encouraging to God's people as we face various trials and uncertainties is that in the midst of this most majestic scene of Jesus ruling in glory and honor and power are what? Our prayers. Revelation 5, verse 8. Look again. And when he had taken it, that's the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Jesus has just taken the scroll from God. He's taken control of the universe. And the heavenly creatures in his presence, as they prepare to worship and praise him, they're holding golden bowls full of incense, which we are told specifically here are the prayers of God's people. It's an easy thing to miss, isn't it? Did you notice it as we read it? There's a few nods. That's good. But it's an easy thing to miss. Amidst everything else that's going on, all of the glory and the praise and the images and the numbers. But there, in the traffic control center of the cosmos, the cockpit of the universe, the epicenter of everything, are our prayers to God. Heaven is the one place we aren't allowed to enter, because as sinful people like us can't enter the presence of a holy God. And yet our voices are heard in heaven. Our requests, as we make our requests, our pleas for mercy, our prayers for other people, for people who aren't Christian yet, their names are being heard in heaven. Isn't that an amazing thing? And they're being offered to God at the foot of his throne. Isn't that both comforting and encouraging? Comforting to know that our prayers actually get to heaven. That they're not just bouncing off the ceiling and making it through it all. And isn't it encouraging to see how prominent our prayers are? These heavenly creatures worshipping and praising Jesus aren't holding lavish gifts. They aren't holding a picture of Jesus and saying, "Hey, would you mind signing this picture of you?" No, they're holding a harp to sing and our prayers. That's how important they are. That's how prominent they are in this heavenly church service, which is what we're seeing here in John 5, a heavenly church service. Our church service here this morning is based off that heavenly church service. How important our prayers are, how important our corporate prayers as we gather together to pray, as someone leads us in prayer, we're doing a very, very important thing in the mission of God by praying here every morning, every week, I should say. But what role do they actually play in God's mission being achieved? Okay, they're being heard. We can see that. They're coming into the presence of God, but are they actually making a difference? Are they getting answered? Well, if we keep reading in Revelation, we don't have the time to do that now, but as we read straight after this gathering, this heavenly gathering in chapters 4 and 5, John watches Jesus in chapter 6 begin to open the seals. One by one, to put God's plan into effect, his will into effect, and he sees the judgments of God come upon the earth, his will being done. And when the sixth seal is opened, the salvation of God's people comes. John sees a great multitude that no one can count in chapter 7, verse 9. People from every tribe and language and people praising God. They are before the throne of God, serving him constantly, sheltering in his presence. Let me read to you chapter 7, verses 9 to 12. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every tribe and nation and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Here is a vision of God's mission being fulfilled, is it not? People from every nation coming and gathering around him. We're seeing a glimpse of the future of it being fulfilled, God's mission. That mission plan that God promised way back in Genesis 12. Remember the promise that God made to Abraham? that he was going to be the father of many nations, that through him and his offspring, he will bless the nations. And here it is being fulfilled in the person of Jesus. And then in chapter 8, verse 1, the seventh seal is open, and there is silence in heaven for half an hour. Now, I'm sure all of us who live in this very busy city can appreciate how glorious half an hour of silence is. We went out to the country to visit one of our churches, and Wagga Wagga. And we were staying in the minister's house. He was away. Been a busy trip and a long drive via Bathurst. Long story. Anyway, got into bed after a long day and lay in bed, and I was lying there, and it was like I couldn't hear anything. It was just quiet. That's the country for you, isn't it? Makes you want to move to the country. We live on a six-lane road at Bexley, so we just hear meow, meow, meow all the time. So half an hour of silence is golden. Filmmakers use silence amidst action scenes. I don't know if you watch many movies. You've got these really busy, crazy explosion scenes, and then all of a sudden it slows down and goes quiet. And it's a way of saying, hey, pay attention. Stop. Listen, this is important. This silence in Revelation 8 is significant. It stands out amidst all the activity and noise. It makes a momentary reprieve from the judgment of God. And in the silence, John sees an angel. Well, what does he see? Let me read chapter 8 for you. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stood before God, and the seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in front of the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. And God took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and hurled it on the earth. And on it goes. These prayers of ours, notice here in chapter 8, rise up before God like smoke from a fire, like the aroma from a sacrifice in the Old Testament, and God smells it, hears it, and it's pleasing to him. In other words, our prayers are pleasing to God. They're being answered. Immediately the judgments continue. Another cycle of seven, and on it goes. The establishment of God's rule is made through the Messiah. And so we see our prayers are being brought into heaven in chapter 5. They're being answered as God's kingdom comes in, as his plan is realized. So that by the end of Revelation, what do we see? We see the heavenly city coming down, God's people being gathered finally, death being wiped away, and people are with God. His sovereign will is realized. And again, the presence of our prayers in heaven ought to be a great comfort to us, an encouragement to us as we face trials. God is answering the prayers of his people to bring his will, to complete his mission, to save all people. Now, we may feel powerless and helpless at times, unable to do much to contribute to God's mission to save the nations, but we can pray, friends. As Jesus says, the prayer of a righteous man is both powerful and effective. We are miles away from the Ukraine, but we can pray for the Ukraine. We are miles away from Afghanistan and what the Taliban is doing over there, feeling helpless. What can we do? Well, we can pray. We can pray to the God who's in control of the universe, to the Lord Jesus who's in control of the universe, and ask him that his will might be done, that people might be saved. God wants us to pray. He commands us to pray. Our prayers are an important part of his mission plans. They ought to be a priority in our mission plans. Jesus spent all night on a mountain praying to God in Luke 6. The first thing he commands the 72 to go out on mission is to pray for more workers to go out into the harvest. Paul urges Timothy, first of all, to pray for all people. Do you see how important prayer is? And the history of Christian mission that follows again and again shows us something that's still true today, that disciple-making movements, that if I want to call it revivals, people, bands of people coming to know Jesus often, if not always, are preceded by great energies of prayer, great focuses of prayer, people gathering together and praying earnestly and urgently for things. We don't just want to pray in a pandemic. I want to suggest we need a pandemic of prayer. We need to be praying always. We need to be encouraging others to pray with us. We need to be spreading a habit of prayer so that it catches on, that it infects us and others who want to come and pray with us. When groups of people have gathered together to pray earnestly for a local community or a suburb, for an unreached people group to hear and receive the gospel, God answers their prayer because that's what God wants. He wants people to come to know him. So friends, if you have a heart for this community of Abbotsford and aroundabouts, a heart for unreached people groups, a heart for migrants and refugees, that they would come to know Jesus, then pray. Join us in praying. Gather together with one another and pray. I read a quote in a book I was reading the other day. It said this: when you get to heaven and realize all that prayer did on this earth, you'll be ashamed that you prayed so poorly. Now, I don't think you'll be ashamed in heaven, but you get the point. Once you get there and you go, oh, did it really have that much effect? I should have prayed more. Don't wait till then. Start now. Pray. Brothers and sisters, pray. We've had a glimpse into heaven this morning. We can see how important prayer is for God's mission. So let's pray. We had a lovely old Christian friend a few years ago at our previous church. His name was Bruce. Bruce has gone to be with the Lord, but Bruce was in a position in life where he couldn't really do much. He had schizophrenia and diabetes and was very unwell. But you know what? He knew how to pray. And he would always ask me and all the other people, what can I pray for you? And I know he prayed for us because I knew that was all he could do. Let's be people like that who, if there's nothing else that we can do, pray. Pray for people. Pray for missionaries. Pray for our ministers. Pray for our community. Brothers and sisters, let's keep praying like the persistent widow, Luke 18, seeking justice and not giving up. Let's pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this morning, for your words and for the encouragement and the importance and the prominence of our prayers. Thank you that you hear our prayers because of the Lord Jesus. Thank you that you answer our prayers according to your will. Father, we yearn for the people of this suburb, for this city, for the nations that are coming here to know you, to put their trust in Jesus. Father, we pray for them. We pray for us also, Father, you give us an urgency, a desire, a motivation to pray, to keep praying, to not give up, because we can see how important prayer is, that you want us to pray, that you hear our prayers and answer us. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a great reminder of how much prayer means, and it matters. I'm excited for the message. I don't know about you, but I think it's wonderful. We're going to do, we're going to stand together in a moment and to say the words of part of Psalm 119. And once again, it just reiterates the importance of God's word and the importance of never giving up because we have God. Please stand and join with me. In the words of this psalm, together, I have done wrong and right. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Ensure your servant's well-being. Do not let the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail looking for your salvation, looking for your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your love and teach me your decrees.
I am your servant.
Sorry. I am, no,
give me the
servant, that I may understand your statutes. It is time for you to act, Lord. Your law is being broken because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider your precepts right. I hate every wrong path. We have a God and we can trust, and his precepts are right. And as his people and followers of Christ, we seek to do what he wants us to do. We seek to do what is right and good. And so therefore we are his servants. So we're going to, if you'd like to remain standing, we're now going to sing the next song together. Servants of the Gospel.
Christ died to wash us clean. He bore the Father's anger while nailed upon the tree. In darkness and in turmoil, the judgment fell on him, bringing us forgiveness that new life might begin.
Servants of the Gospel,
Please be seated. We now come into a time of prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I'm going to ask Trevor to come up and continue with us in prayer.
Would you join with me firstly in the set prayer for today? Together, let us pray that we may enjoy true freedom. God our Father, look upon us with love. You redeem us and make us your children in Christ. Give us true freedom and bring us to the inheritance you promised. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you hear us when we call to you in prayer and you command us to pray. You answer our prayers in a way that always fulfills your will here on earth as it is in heaven, and for your good and our good. Grant us the grace and the willingness of mind and heart to look to see you answer our prayers, understand your will, and be thankful for your goodness towards us. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you today for the work that you are doing through the Blair family, through Cameron, Lara, Hannah, Rebecca, Nathaniel, Lily, Malachi and Luke, and those who volunteer and gather around them, and us who are partners with them in the gospel. We do thank you, Heavenly Father, particularly for the strategic planning that they have in terms of reaching and connecting and multiplying the work that they do amongst youth and refugees. Loving Heavenly Father, we begin by just saying thank you for this ministry. Thank you for raising up Cameron and Lara and giving them this passion to see the lost amongst these family units, one for Christ. We do pray, Heavenly Father, particularly for Sheena, I think, Sheena, we pray for him and his work that he's alongside Cameron as he buddies up and learns from our Cameron, and we do pray that he one day will be a leader amongst his group and be able to win people for Christ. Loving Father God, we're mindful too and thankful for the government's willingness to open up more refugees to come into Australia and to come under the care of people like the Blairs and to be able to hear the good news of Jesus with them. We also at this time of the year, Father, Lord, we're mindful of those who govern us, and as we come before an election this coming Saturday, we also pray that you will grant to us wisdom in our determining who to vote for. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to live in a country where we can live in peace and have freedom. And we ask, Father God, for that you'll grant to whatever government that comes in or continues to stay in, that, Father God, that you'll grant to them wisdom, humility to come under your guidance. Also, Father God, at this time of the year, this month, we are mindful of those who are working amongst the police force. We thank you for chaplains in the police force. We thank you for their willingness to care for those of the families of personnel within police force. Lord, care for them and provide for their needs at this time. And also, Heavenly Father, we're mindful too at this time of the General Synod of the Anglican Church, and we thank you for their gathering together and for a common mind amongst all of them there with regards to marriage and sexuality. But we do pray for a unity amongst the bishops who, Father God, we do pray may come to a common mind on this. We also thank you, Heavenly Father, for the work of your gospel in this place, and we pray for the extension of your kingdom here, Lord, that we may see more of us grow in our knowledge and love of you and to come into Christ, unto his kingdom. Father, hear these prayers we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
So, we have some announcements this morning, and I can't see where Karen is, but we'll start. Our guest speaker next week will be the Thomases, be Shine and Jessica, again focusing on mission. Women's Supper. There's a Women's Supper on Friday the 3rd of June. Instead of a breakfast, we're having a supper in the church foyer, and Jessica will be speaking to us too while they're home on leave. Of course, now this is very important, the men's breakfast. So they're gathering together on the 4th of June. Put that in your diary, gentlemen. And I'm sure it'll be a great time. It seems to be always a good time. And we're not moving. Oh, thank you. We've also got coming up on the 18th of June a women's conference put on by Equip. And their title this year is City of Tears, so they'll be studying Lamentations, which is a book that is not studied as much as it used to be. And we do want to be thankful for the offerings that come into our family here at Abbotsford at St Andrews. Thank you so much for all of those who contribute and make our missions, help our missions, and also help run the cost here, both with online and also with the support of donations handed in. We also let you know that at the end of the pews, I think there's some donation envelopes for the monthly mission focus, so if you needed to pop anything in there, by all means pick that up. We still haven't got Karen. So after prayer, we've got prayer after here. I'm not sure who's on. Coral and Tony. Yes, Coral's putting her hand up there. So they're available for prayer after the church, our church service. So if you have anything you'd like to share, they're very willing to pray for you and done in great confidence and love. After church, we really want to have morning tea together, so still be aware of the continuing in COVID practice. Just after you've got your morning tea and your cuppa, try to move outside. At the moment, we have fine weather, and move out into the playground. I think that's it. Oh, you're not taking over? All right. we're now going to have our last song. And after all that we've heard today about prayer, about being servants, and the marvellous love that we have through Jesus, let's sing this song with great gusto, because we need to live for the kingdom. Please stand and join in song.
Give God the glory.
stand and be strong. Lift up your hearts in the victory song. When you're mistreated, be certain to bless, seeking His righteousness. Now is the moment, the day of salvation. This is the hour to be serving the King. Bearing the gospel, go to the nations. Now is the time for our tribute to bring, and live for the kingdom, and give God the glory and honor and praise. Live for the kingdom.
Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.